sermon reading this morning comes from John O'Donohue. He writes, "The human soul is hungry for beauty. When we experience the beautiful, there is a sense of homecoming. Some of our most wonderful memories are beautiful places where we felt immediately at home. We feel most alive in the presence of the beautiful, for it meets the needs of our soul. For a while, the strains of struggle and endurance are relieved, and our frailty is illuminated by a different light in which we come to glimpse behind the shutter of appearance and sure form of things. In the experience of beauty, we awaken and surrender in the same act. Beauty brings a sense of completeness and sureness. Without any of the usual calculation, we can slip into the beautiful with the same ease as we slip into the seamless embrace of water. Something ancient within us already trusts that this embrace will hold us." The words of John O'Donohue. Timothy entered prison in 1989. He says he did not think about beauty. He had spent his life up to that point experiencing only ugliness. Beauty held no meaning for him. He had been placed in Colorado State custody at the age of 6. And he spent 12 years enduring abuse of all kinds from staff and others, emotional, physical, and sexual abuse. Then when he reached the age of 18, the age of emancipation, he was kicked out with nowhere to go. By the age of 21, he had been prison twice and was returning to prison. And this time his sentence was for 30 years. The idea of beauty seemed irrelevant, impossible, and non-existent for him. And then about midway through his current 30-year sentence, something changed. Timothy began what he describes as a spiritual journey. And that journey included the discovery of beauty. It included a glimpse behind the shutter of appearances. And he discovered that beauty comes in many forms. And he says this. He says, "I've walked to Chow at night and was amazed by the beauty of the moon and stars. On the rec yard, I've admired the beauty of a hawk flying overhead and the beauty of a mockingbird's song. Some people find beauty in written words or songs, while others admire the beauty of various forms of art. One guy I worked with would talk for hours about the beauty of math, how the perfection of a difficult equation was beauty in itself. He goes on to say, while it is difficult to do in prison, I now try to see the beauty that surrounds me. Whether it is the trees on the other side of the fence, a wildflower growing on the yard, a touching poem, or a heart-tugging song, I search for that beauty." Timothy is imprisoned in Florida. He is a Unitarian Universalist now, and he's a member of the Church of the Larger Fellowship. The Church of the Larger Fellowship, how many of you know what the Church of the Larger Fellowship is? A few of you, quite a few, that's good. Church of the Larger Fellowship is a virtual Unitarian Universalist community with a global reach. Began as a paper community when there was no virtual aspect. There are now about 3,500 members. 900 of them are incarcerated. It's really incredible to hear what Timothy, who has seen the worst, who has really seen some of the worst, what he has to teach us about beauty. His experience reminds us that beauty is part of the spiritual journey. He shows us how beauty emerges even where there is ugliness, even in prison, which may seem like an unlikely place for beauty. He reminds us to seek out experiences of beauty wherever we go, wherever we are. His experience reminds us that beauty comes in many, many forms, and that we can find it in many, many places. He also goes a bit further. He says that the most rewarding beauty is inner beauty, the beauty of a kind soul, is what he calls it. And Khalil Gibran said that beauty is not in the face, beauty is a light in the heart. And John O'Donohue described a light that allows us to glimpse behind appearances. So I was thinking about beauty this week. I was thinking how, in some ways, in many ways, modern culture seems to celebrate the presence of this soul beauty. The phrase, beauty is only skin deep, is oft repeated. We hear that all the time, don't we? We probably say it a lot ourselves. At the same time, when it comes to human beauty, we seem to be more focused than ever on superficial attractiveness. There's no shortage of advertising, billboards, magazines, social media, television, and movies feeding us visuals of what is and isn't attractive. There still appears to be a beauty bias. That beauty bias favors attractive people at work and elsewhere. There still seems to be an excruciating amount of focus on being beautiful on the outside. The options available to us to enhance and beautify our physical selves, to keep us looking young and attractive, seem to suggest and reinforce that physical attractiveness is a top priority when it comes to human beauty. There are more and more and more beauty products out there, right? More and more plastic surgery options. There are even these programs on social media. You probably know about these. Maybe some of you have played around with some parts of it. I was really surprised by these programs that can achieve for us what airbrushing achieves, you know, for the models and the famous people. You know, they're the apps, they'll smooth your skin, highlight your eyes, even resize your nose, if you want to resize your nose. Also that you can achieve some kind of cultural ideal. They're the same apps that do other things like make you, show you what you'd look like if you're 100 years old, or what you'd look like as a dog, or whatever, you know, some animal or something, whatever, you know, same kind of thing. It just makes me wonder why we are so focused on outer beauty, at the same time as it seems like we've evolved to care more about the inner part. Outer beauty doesn't make us smarter, it doesn't make us more interesting, it doesn't make us kinder or more truthful, it doesn't even make us more fun to be around. I'm not really even sure that it makes us any happier. It may look that way, or we may think that it makes people happier. And what is the cost, the collective cost, of prioritizing the outside over the inside? From a religious and a spiritual perspective, the cost is the nurture and care of our souls, of our spirits, and of our planet as well. Beauty throughout the ages has been a spiritual value. It's a value that's not only about aesthetics, but also a moral virtue, right up there alongside truth and justice. And John O'Donohue, in his reading, describes the way that beauty relates to something transcendent, to God, to the universe, to the soul. He says, the human soul is hungry for beauty. When we experience the beautiful, he said, there is a sense of homecoming. We can slip into the beautiful with the same ease we slip into the seamless embrace of water. Something ancient within us already trusts that this embrace will hold us. Beauty connects us to something ancient, to our source. This is the force of the universe, of all, of God. It is even a name for God. Starhawk writes of this, beauty as God, goddess, Gaia. She said, I who am the beauty of the green earth and the white moon among the stars and the mysteries of the waters, I call upon your soul to arise and come unto me. The sources of beauty that I encounter on a regular basis help me slip into that seamless embrace of water. Call me to arise and come. Poetry, literature, spring flowers, the grandeur of trees. My cat, too. She is infinitely beautiful. I'm so amazed by who she is, by how she is, by how we have this cross-species soul connection. How is that? That inner beauty that speaks across species. And there are my friends, my family, my partner, all beautiful. Because of the way they light up my life, support me, and help me be my best self. Being with these people is like a homecoming and an embrace that holds me. They may also be beautiful on the outside, but what sets them apart is that inner light, the way they feed my soul hunger. Timothy says that for him, and I like to share his words because his own words are so touching, so profound. He says, the most rewarding beauty that I've found is the beauty of a kind soul. No matter how a person looks on the outside, it is what's inside that has affected me the most. Prison is a place filled with egotistical, selfish, manipulating, cruel people. So it is particularly special when I come across that rare animal, a beautiful inner person. The unselfish act of helping others in need, of sticking up for the weak of giving freely with no ulterior motives. This is the beauty that changes lives, the beauty that makes us look at our own inner self. This is the beauty that allows us to have hope for the future, no matter how bleak the present is. Then he concludes by saying, it is this inner beauty that has the power to change the world we live in. If we all nurtured our inner beauty, tended it until it blossomed, then that beauty would spread its seeds to others. Let your inner beauty shine. Allow others to see your inner beauty by your actions. No matter how ugly the world is, our inner beauty can thrive and spread. Indeed, beauty can change the world. It offers us a moral compass. Not only is kindness beautiful, but beauty inspires us to be kind, to be just, to be our best selves. The Unitarian Universalist minister, Sean Parker Denison, said that the ability to see beauty is the beginning of our moral sensibility. What we believe is beautiful, we will not wantonly destroy. If more humans were to truly respect the worth and dignity of all people, if more people were truly to respect the interdependent web of life, the whole of creation, the connection among all of us, if we believed that the all of this planet, if we believed these were all beautiful, if this kind of beauty were honored as a moral value, humans would not diminish or destroy one another or our planet. How could they? There is ugliness in the world. We know that. There's pain and there's meanness. There's injustice. Focusing on inner beauty, the inner good in ourselves and each other and in creation can help to foster a more just and kinder world. Cultivating our inner beauty and appreciating it in others can cultivate more light in the heart, more light that can light up the world and light up others. In our spiritual community here, there are many examples of the beautiful, and you've seen many of them here this morning. There are so many examples of kind souls, our teachers and mentors, our musicians and singers, our committee leaders and volunteers, our ushers, our greeters, our board members, our coffee crews, because coffee is one of the beautiful things. Our wise ones of all ages, our worship associates, our social justice teams, our audiovisual techs, our building committee, our staff. There is the person during coffee hour or before church who takes a moment to stop and say hello to you, to introduce themselves, to care about who you are. There's a person who listens to your story. There's someone who gives you a ride or loans you a book or sends you a card when a loved one has died. There are those who are financially generous. There's the person who shares their truth, who risks being who they are, who shows you who they are becoming. These are the kind souls whose beauty touches us and gives us the courage to live well, to live boldly, to be grateful. These are the people whose beauty is changing the world. Beauty is truly a light in the heart. May the light in my heart, in your heart, in our hearts, light up our world. May we join with the Navajo Indians in those poignant words, "Beauty is before me, and beauty is behind me, above me and below me hovers the beautiful. I am surrounded by it. I am immersed in it. In beauty, it is begun. In beauty, it is ended." So may it be. Amen. And blessed be.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.